Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hi there. Welcome to session 77 of Selling the Couch. Hope you're doing really well wherever you're tuning in from. We have been getting a crazy amount of rain here in Philly. I feel like I don't remember the last time that I saw sun, but it's projected for some sunshine the day I'm recording this, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. You know, one of the things that I have been thinking about in terms of doing a podcast episode was talking to a clinician that is using public speaking as a way to grow their practice. So either as a way to get referrals for their practice or to build relationships or to even get paid for those speaking engagements. And I actually found someone. My guest today is Corey Bush. Corey is a marriage and family therapist out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he is in the process of creating a private practice, but one of the main ways that he is building out his practice is through speaking. But before we get to today's podcast session, I wanted to take a moment to thank the folks at Therapy Partner. Therapy Partner is a practice management software that was developed by a clinician for clinicians. And their practice management software has consistently been rated among the top 10 of all practice management softwares out there. If you've been thinking about going to an electronic system and want to check them out, I'll tell you a little bit more about them here at the end. But you can go to sellingthecouch.com/therapypartner, and that will give you a free trial so you can check it out. So in today's podcast session, Corey and I are going to dive really deep into this realm of public speaking. We're going to start by how in the world did he decide that public speaking might be an option to grow his practice? And how did he land his first speaking opportunity? I think his answer will surprise you because I think a lot of times we think that we have to do this like crazy amount of marketing to get these opportunities. But some of the things that Corey did was just so smart. And so I'm looking forward to you hearing that. We wrap up with some of the ways that Corey thinks about the content of what he's going to talk about, as well as some of the tips that he's learned just in general with public speaking. So before we get to today's session, I do need to apologize. Corey and I recorded this session a couple of weeks ago. And if you were in the Selling the Couch community, I made a post about this. It's so funny. I could not, as we were recording or we were getting ready to record this session, my podcast mic, the one that you're hearing me talk on, the one that makes my voice sound nice and like buttery smooth here, my podcast mic stopped working and I could not figure out what was going on. So I ended up recording using the iPhone headphones, and the quality is fine, but you know, it's definitely not at a like podcasting mic level quality, but the quality overall is fine. Anyway, just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Side note, later on I found out that my mic had been turned to the off position, so my mic was completely off, and that was the reason why it was not recording. Anyway, looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. So here is my conversation with Corey Bush from ElementsCounselingMN.com. Hey, Corey, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin. I'm just really excited to be here. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to get to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I'm so glad you reached out, because I think this is a topic I know that a lot of folks in our community are starting to do, which is public speaking, mm-hmm. and more specifically about thinking how public speaking might, you know, grow practice. And you're doing it really well, so props on that.
Thanks.
So, you know, I wanted to just get started and talk. How did you even decide that public speaking might be an option to even like grow your practice and even thinking of it on that level?
Yeah, sure. So it's funny because most people talk about how in grad school, we don't have any courses about business. And I was actually lucky enough that my grad program had a small little one credit course that we could take. It was optional, but it was about the business of private practice.
Wow.
And and that's one of the reasons I'm even in a private practice in the first place. But in that class, our professor said something that kind of stuck with me, which was never turn down an opportunity to speak in front of people. And so I just kind of took that to heart because I have a lot of experience being in front of people. I used to be a teacher and I have some history of performance and theater and stuff like that. Being up in front of people is something that's somewhat natural to me and I enjoy it. And so I just kind of kept that in the back of my mind, and I was starting my practice and a little over a year ago, just getting started with my practice. And I had an opportunity just kind of fall into my lap where my wife works at a school, and she actually is kind of in charge of some of the professional development at her school. And she asked me if I would like to come in and talk with teachers. I have a experience as a teacher. I used to be a teacher, and I work mostly with parents and adolescents. And so I have a lot of experience working with adults on how to talk with their adolescents. I figured, well, give it a try. And it was a free thing, so I didn't have to worry too much about like meeting some kind of high expectations that they would have for me.
You weren't going to like pitch them on like, you know, my fees are $300.
Exactly. Right. It was basically like no questions asked, like, yeah, come on in. And it was for a small group of teachers. It wasn't like for all of their teachers or something, you know, maybe 10 people would show up. So it didn't feel like a ton of pressure. And so I started working on this, on the content for it, and I just got really into it, and I found myself just really excited about the content that I was going to present on. I thought it would be really helpful. And so I just got really excited making this content, and I came in and I presented, and the teachers really liked it. And I got a lot of really positive feedback, and a couple of the leaders of the school actually approached me afterwards and asked me if I would want to come back at a different date and do a paid professional development for them.
Wow.
And of course I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Where do I sign? Basically, that's kind of how things got going.
That's so cool. So did, I don't know what that stat is, like the number one fear is public speaking or whatever that is, right?
Right.
So did you like have any like, you know, whenever your wife was like, do you want to do this? Did you have that moment of like, you know, you want to do it, but then you were like, what am I going to talk about? There's no way I can do this. I'm not an expert. Like, did you have that moment or?
Right. Of course. Yeah. I mean, all of those just anxious automatic thoughts that pop into your head. Yeah. I definitely had those.
What did you do with that when that came up?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is that I do have some experience public speaking. So it wasn't quite as strong as maybe it was in an earlier time in my life. But the biggest part was I would just buckle down and really work on my content, work on what I was going to say. And if I started to get anxious, like, I don't know if this is good enough, or I don't know if they're going to like this, I would just like work on it more, which is kind of another like, not a great thing, but it's kind of my perfectionism kicking in.
But I think there's some wisdom to that, right? Like channeling that energy
right
into actually doing something productive with it instead of like ostriching in fear kind of idea.
Right. Yep. And that, you know, that anxiety is telling you something. It's telling you, like, you got to do a good job or people aren't going to like this. And I think there's some truth to that. But also, you know, I would just test it out. And my wife is really good at giving feedback on that kind of thing. And so I just tested it out in front of her and she said, you know, it's really, really good. I really like it. I think that the teachers are going to like it. And that also helped because she knows some of the teachers. And so she knows kind of what their expectations are. And then, you know, she had some feedback, like, you might want to change this, or I was kind of confused by that thing. But that was a huge thing, was just testing it out with her. And like, does this make, you know, I just ask her, like, does this make any sense to you? You know, because it's been in my brain for like 3 weeks and I'm kind of getting all mumbled up here. And she would just say, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And that in and of itself was like, okay.
Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, okay.
There's a couple of like pearls of wisdom that I wanted to kind of pull out. One is, you didn't like randomly go somewhere and try to get a speaking opportunity. Instead, like, you thought about, like, when it kind of happened, but thinking about the existing communities that you're already a part of, or that your significant other is already a part of, as potential avenues to do speaking, right? Instead of like forming a new one.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. And the second one I was just thinking was like, even as you're getting ready, right? Like testing and rehearsing and doing that, hopefully with someone that would be potentially listening, you know, and can give that honest feedback. There's like a lot of wisdom to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I would have started public speaking or doing workshops or whatever you want to call it so early, had this not just kind of come up, just because of like what you said of reaching out to people and, like, you know, cold calling someone or emailing somebody random and saying, hey, I've got this workshop I could do. Do you want me to come in? Like, that just is not fun for very many people. And it's certainly not fun for me. And so, yeah, you just using your existing channels, I think it's just, especially when you start off, it's just so much easier and more comfortable.
So when you did that first talk and you did it in a community that you had some connection with, how do you think that impacted the future confidence you had when maybe you weren't reaching out to folks you didn't know?
Oh man, that made all the difference. When she first approached me, I thought of it like maybe a one-time thing, you know? Maybe I'll do this once and it can be fun and maybe it'll help some people. And then I'll just kind of go back to my normal deal of clinical work and et cetera. But then the feedback I got was really good. And a few teachers came up to me afterwards and said just how helpful it was for them. And that, like, they would tell me, like, this really changes the way that I'm going to interact with my students, especially the students that get in trouble a lot. So two things happened there. One was like, wow, this is really helpful. I think I could help more people with this more than just these like 15 teachers. And maybe people, like, maybe there's a demand for this and maybe people would be willing to pay me, and people that I don't already have a connection with even. And so I went from maybe I'll do this once to, hey, maybe I could make, like, maybe I could make this a legitimate income stream for me, and, you know, actually make money and make this part of my business. And that first time really kind of switched that for me in my mind.
How did you come up with, because I don't know, when you were just using an example of like teachers coming up to you and saying like, wow, like I'm going to totally do this. Like, how did you figure out, one, like the content that they would resonate with? And also like, how did you figure out like the language and the languaging of your presentation that they would resonate with?
So first, it helped a lot that I've experienced as a teacher. And I have, you know, my wife works with teachers on a daily basis. And so I have a real connection with their daily experiences. And so that helped a ton. And I know a lot of people in our field come from other fields and they have experiences in other areas. And so, you know, one thing there is like, you know, more than just therapy, like, you know, about other areas and other fields and other careers. And so just use that knowledge, I would say, to gain insight into like, what do people like, so I know what teachers care about, right? Cause I have that experience. And so that helped me to really craft like what is it that is painful for them, right? Well, it's painful for a teacher when they ask a kid to do something and the kid doesn't do it, right? That's like, you're like, what? That sucks. Mm. And so I just talked to that exact point. Like, what do you do when Johnny refuses to stop hitting Billy? You know, it's like, and then I talked about like, what do you do and how do you think about that?
So I think we were just talking about this idea of like, how do you select topics for your talks, for speaking?
One of the really important things is to keep your audience in mind. But for me, you know, I didn't even think about my audience when I first started thinking about my topic. I started just with what gets me excited. In that time, like, what ideas and what theories, just ways of thinking about people gets me really excited. And that might, you know, that would probably have something helpful also to say for teachers. But I started with what my passion is. And what that helped me do was just get really excited about working on the presentation, working on the workshop itself. So when I sat down to actually, you know, work on my notes, work on my PowerPoint, I was really excited. Like, it was fun for me because the topic was something that just got me energized. And so if I had started with like, what do people really want to hear? And then I had chosen something that I kind of liked, but was kind of like meh about, then I would have sat down and be like, ugh, I got to work on this again. This is not going to be fun. And it just, then that would have come off in the workshop itself. And people would have been like, oh, this guy's kind of, you know, half-hearted about this. It's not that great.
Yeah, no, I like the way that you're approaching that because it's coming from a place of passion instead of like burden, you know?
Right. And yeah. I was just able to, as I worked through that and got, you know, I was excited about the topic to begin with, then I was able to start crafting it so that it fit the needs of my audience.
Right. So I wanted to ask you about that second part, which is, you knew that you were passionate about it, but how did you actually, so for you it was unique because you found, like, you knew that you might want to talk to teachers, right? But what, mm-hmm. what suggestions would you have for someone that knows they're passionate about a certain topic, but they're not really sure who would need it or whether there would even be like demand for it? I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. Well, I think first of all, like, one thing that, you know, I've heard from a few just like entrepreneurial business experts is just think about what pain do people have in their lives or what like aspirations or things do they want to learn or things do they want to be better in their lives, like their pleasures that they're seeking. Often in our field, we are focusing on pain and emotional turmoil and stuff like that. We know, you know, we have experience with people. We have experience with people's pain. We know what is hard for people and what hurts. And so just thinking about it that way, anxiety is such a gigantic thing. There's tons of different ways of thinking about it. And almost, you know, a huge percentage of people have anxiety in some form. And so thinking about like just one example could be alleviating anxiety in some kind of context, you know, whatever that context is that you would happen to have a connection with.
Okay. So either like niching down to some kind of context or niching down to like a specific population, like teachers, for example, like you did.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I like that general approach that you're thinking about it. I wanted to just shift a little bit. What would you say are, just thinking about all the different talks that you've done right now, what mm-hmm. would you say are the three like biggest mistakes that you've made that initially you were like, I'm not going to deal with that, but you just maybe didn't even realize that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like one mistake I think was like taking things personally. And so like just one example of that is I certainly have this part of me that really wants people to like me. I think a lot of us do. And so when I talk in front of people, especially talking in front of adults, I just like really want my audience to like it. Right. And so then I'll look out and I'll see one person's face who looks like they're really bored or who looks like they don't care or who looks like maybe they don't like what I'm saying. And when I first started, I would see that person's face and I would be like, oh God, they hate it. They think it's terrible. I'm doing horrible. Everybody hates it. And then my anxiety would start to ramp up. And when my anxiety would start to ramp up, I couldn't concentrate anymore. And then it would be like, I would like almost have to like take a break in front of everyone just to kind of regroup.
Right.
And so one thing I learned from that was like, A, maybe that person does like what I'm saying. It's just maybe they didn't get enough sleep last night. Right. And so that's why they look really bored. And B, like I would just then not look at the people who looked bored or looked angry. And I would just make eye contact with the people who looked like they were engaged and looked like they were happy and smiling at me. So that, yeah, like just learning to like not take little things like that personally and that I can't make everyone happy and everyone's not going to like it. And that's okay.
That's a big piece that I feel like, but I like that. I like the combination of like realizing that and then like the practical strategy of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and because, you know, speaking in front of people, you got to make eye contact.
Right.
You got to look at people,
right?
But you don't have to look at every single person.
Yeah.
Do you look at the people who are smiling?
Do you look at them in the eye or do you like, I've heard like sometimes it's good to like look at their forehead. So it kind of looks like you're looking.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, I usually look people in the eye. I think if that's something that freaks you out, I think it's totally fine to just like, even just like look in between people or look people in the forehead, or as long as you're like generally looking out into the audience, I think you're good.
Cool. What are some other like mistakes that you've noticed?
Another thing came up just like, so I first started, I kind of had my first couple gigs kind of fall into my lap. Mm-hmm. But after that, I started actually reaching out and trying to sell this product to schools. And boy, I just really like, A, I hated that. And B, I was terrible at it. And so I would try to like cold call a school and I would maybe get a hold of the principal. Usually I wouldn't. But then when I did, I was like nervous and I didn't know what to say. And I would just fumble around and they would obviously be able to read that. And they would just say, okay, well, thanks for calling and we'll think about it and we'll get back to you. And then of course they would never get back to me. And so I just realized that I didn't know anything about sales. I also realized that even if I was trying to do this for free, that if I was calling an organization that didn't already want me to come, that it actually isn't free for them because it does cost them time and energy to like coordinate this and to bring somebody in. Mm. And so I just had to kind of learn about sales a little bit, because when you first start off, you do have to reach out a little bit if you want to like make it a significant part of your business. Like people aren't just going to be calling you and asking you to come talk at their organizations all the time. Right. And so just like learning a little bit about sales helped me a lot. And I'm fortunate enough, I have a business mentor who helped me with that a little bit.
That's awesome. Corey, just shifting a little bit as we start to wrap up, you have launched this amazing podcast and I know that you've shared it with us in the community. And it's, man, I was telling you this before, like the quality on it is really awesome. And I just think the content is really good. I was wondering if you could, one, just tell us a little bit about what got you thinking about even doing a podcast, but then also tell us a little bit more about the podcast, because I know that a lot of folks would definitely like work with that population and definitely would be beneficial to clients as well.
Thanks for that. that positive feedback. You know, starting this kind of thing, there's always those thoughts in your head, like, does anybody like this? Is anyone ever going to listen to this? And I certainly had those on a number of occasions. And so just getting that feedback, especially from someone like you, I really appreciate. And then in terms of how I got into it, I mean, I've been listening to podcasts for a long time and a lot of just story-based podcasts and podcasts that really get deep into difficult scientific topics, Radiolab and stuff like that. Yeah. It's always just been kind of a dream of mine to create one of my own. And then I've just been, as I've just grown in my clinical practice, I've had this content just floating around in my mind, like, boy, I would just really love to share this with people. Right. Like I'm really passionate about understanding anxiety, understanding how our minds work, understanding how mental health problems work. And I just really want to share this with people. And so why not try a podcast, right, see how it goes. And so that's what got me started was just a passion for this content. And so my podcast, really at its core, what I try to do is tackle like just really big questions. And one of the big ones is like, what is really happening when we feel things like anxiety and depression? What is really happening in our minds? And then like, why does anxiety even exist? And then I look at that through the story of a fictional teenager that I created named David. And so David has anxiety, and so we go through his story and his parents. And so it's called The Teen Mind. And I've heard from a lot of people, parents, and also just individual adults who have anxiety. It's really helpful to have this story format that not only gets into some pretty deep just concepts and ideas, but then also applies those concepts and ideas to a particular character, a particular person who's really experiencing this.
Yeah, it's not just talking about anxiety, right? Like it's someone that's living it out, you know, through the podcast.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And I created this character just partially from my own personal experience and also just from my experience working with, you know, dozens and dozens of young people who are going through tough situations.
Corey, what are some of the best ways that folks can get in touch with you? And also feel free to share the podcast and how folks can find that as well.
Yeah. So the podcast again is called The Teen Mind, and you can find it at theteenmind.com. I'm in the Facebook community of the Selling the Couch Facebook community. And so, I mean, my business is also called Elements Counseling. So people can Google that on Facebook, and I'm in Minneapolis. And so there's another Elements Counseling like in Denver or something. So, you know, my email is Corey@elementscounselingmn.com. And I'm happy to get emails from people who have questions about this or Facebook messages.
Thanks a lot. Corey, thank you again for doing this interview. And I'm glad, you know, just thinking about some of the things that you're doing. And I know it's going to be an encouragement to a lot of our colleagues.
Good. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks again, Melvin. I appreciate it.
Hi there. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Corey. And more importantly, I hope that it has you feeling more brave about doing public speaking. You know, we talked a lot about public speaking, but the thing I know that I often forget is that we have a unique set of skills. And because of our training and clinical experiences, I know for me, sometimes I just assume that everybody knows what I know. But with public speaking, we have the ability to take what we have learned, which is so valuable and can help so many people, and take it to and share that message with a lot more folks, and indirectly become an authority and then use it as a way to grow your practice and grow your business. One of the biggest takeaways, I had a lot of them, but the biggest one I think for me that Corey talked about was this idea of working and seeing the communities that you're already a part of, and instead of trying to go out and create and trying to find speaking opportunities in communities that are completely foreign to you. So that's my big encouragement to you is, you know, literally take out a sheet of paper after you get done listening to today's session and write down some of the communities that you're already a part of, and then take a moment to write down some of the topics and the things that you might be able to speak on, and especially if it, you know, and optimally you want it to align with the clients and the concerns that you see as a private practitioner. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 77. Again, you can find more information about Corey and some of the amazing things that he's doing, including his podcast, which is called The Teen Mind. You have to check this podcast out and encourage you to share it. The audio quality on it is really amazing, but equally important is that it has just a lot of really practical information that is good whether you're a clinician or a parent of teens, and just to be able to understand what's happening and as another level of support. You can find the podcast at on Corey's website at elementscounselingmn.com. As we wrap up, I wanted to take a moment again to thank Therapy Partner. Therapy Partner is an all-in-one private practice management software. And when I mean all-in-one, it is very comprehensive. You get things like the ability to do automated scheduling, so you can also send out reminders to clients in anticipation of their appointments. You can sync your calendar with other devices. The Therapy Partner platform pulls up on everything from a smartphone to a tablet to just your laptop. There are a bunch of other amazing features, including the ability to handle credit card processing, the ability to be fully HIPAA compliant, the ability to quickly bill if you're taking insurance and doing those things. And then, of course, it includes a very comprehensive therapy notes and progress notes that you can access from anywhere, and the ability to print those notes in case you ever need them. A really cool feature also is the ability to track your revenue within the software platform itself. So I encourage you to check it out. I wish I could do justice to the features of Therapy Partner, and I'll share some more information about them here in the coming weeks, but they're an amazing service and I would definitely check them out at sellingthecouch.com/therapypartner, and that will give you a free trial so you can see if it's a good fit for you. Have a great rest of your week. Take good care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.